Chapter 3, Tourney. In the morning, Hawk unlocks his wrists for him to have breakfast with Anders, and then has him change back into that ridiculous outfit from the night before. Anders even offers him a comb and mirror so he can at least try to fix his hair. Then Isabella turns up, hurling herself into the tent with a grin. "Good morning," she coos. "I brought makeup in case you wanted some. It is your wedding day, after all. Do you have a favorite? Is it Cullen? Did I say thank you yet for providing an excuse to watch handsome boys grappling with each other all sweaty-like?" Dorian blinks, attempting to process all of this. Maybe a little Cole? Not because he wants to look pretty for anybody, but he always does feel more confident when he's done himself up. Then the next part of her words work their way into his brain. Sorry, wedding? Isabella and Anders exchange a look. Dorian, Anders says gently, you do understand what a consort is, right? I do not need the sex talk, Dorian snaps at him, especially after... Then he thinks better of it. Anders blushes. Isabella cackles. Oh yeah, he's loud, this one. At any rate, Anders says, bravely plowing on, that isn't what I meant. For a raider to take a consort, male or female, is an act of commitment, generally for life unless a counterclaim is made. A warrior who did not provide for his consort, or mistreated them, or allowed them to be claimed by another, would be looked down upon. It would be ruinous for anyone hoping to someday lead a raiding band of their own. On the other hand, Isabella adds, a consort as pretty and rare as you would be a wonderful status symbol. He'll be expected to shower you in gifts, dress you in fine furs, all of that. Don't be misled. Anders wants to dress like this. She sighs. All the pretty things. Almost makes me want to let my boo tie me down. Metaphorically, that is. Commitment-like. In the literal sense, been there, done that, she is really good with knots. Incidentally, you didn't answer my question. Which one? Dorian asks, still stuck on the visual of Isabella, the Kunari, and knots. But mostly on commitment. About if you had a favorite. Cullen, for example. Blonde, manly jawline, you kept staring at him all last night? I did not! Anders pets his head like he's a child. Was that you being subtle, then? Dorian glares at the two of them. Just let me do my face, would you? It gives him an excuse to stare into the mirror, and try to get his emotions back under control. He doesn't know why this should be the thing that tears at him, when he's half accepted the sex part, making excuses in his head about how he has to play along so they'll give him a chance to escape. An act of commitment. He's not supposed to want sex, but even in Tevinter there's an understanding that if you're subtle about it, if you play your part... An actual relationship is nothing he's ever allowed himself to hope for. And now this... It's rather like the situation with his father, if his father was a short-tempered southern warrior, and instead of the daughters of magisters, his father incessantly parades in front of him, Hawks lined up a bunch of handsome men. The part where he doesn't get a choice is the same. The part where he's almost going along with it. Has he even made a serious attempt to escape? Perhaps if he'd been keeping an eye out for chances instead of making eyes at Rutherford. Cullen, that's his given name. It suits him. Ugh, there's definitely something wrong with him. His eyes flick to the collar he's still wearing in the mirror. Maybe that's it. It can't be natural to have your magic walled away like this. It's doing something to him. He finishes his eyes, watching Anders and Isabella chatting behind him in the mirror. Then angles it as if he's checking his hair, letting his fingers slide down the nape of his neck and figure out how the thing is held on. There's a clasp, but it feels bulky, heavy, locked, perhaps. If he got a hold of a weapon, could he cut through the leather parts? is it enchanted against that? He needs to at least try. He'll get free and escape, and all of those inappropriate thoughts about southern warriors will stop once he's safely back in Tevinter. He's sure. He honestly doesn't realize Fenris has come back until his arm is wrenched behind his back, then both arms, and when Fenris shoves him away, his hands are locked again, and he stumbles. Fenris, Anders says, stepping forward to help Dorian. Was that necessary? He was trying to get the collar off, Fenris says with a glare. Knew he was only playing tame. He's hardly going to get anywhere with only his bare hands, Anders replies. And if he had attacked you, Fenris counters. Whoever gets him better keep him on a short leash. Another man's consort or not, I will tear your heart out if I need to. The last he directs straight at Dorian. I will stay and keep an eye on him until Hawk calls us, seeing as somebody is too kind-hearted and somebody else too easily distracted. Grumpy, Isabella says. I wanted to go find out how the betting pool is doing anyway, though. Ta, boys! After she swans out, Anders looks over at Fenris. Fenris, will you let me talk to him alone for a moment? At the elf's dark look, he adds, For heaven's sake, I am able to defend myself, especially against a chained and collared Tevinter boy. Dorian bites back his response to boy, because Fenris still looks mildly murderous. Do not unlock his hands, Fenris says after a moment. I will be right outside. Anders sighs, guiding Dorian to the table. Well, that was stupid of you. It would be rather hypocritical of me to scold you for escape attempts, all things considered. But may I ask what brought it on? Dorian bites his lip. The collar. It's hurting? Anders looks mildly concerned. Don't try. It was itching and I was just scratching it. That one never works. He shakes his head. It doesn't hurt, but what does it do, really? I told you, Anders says. It blocks magic. Nothing else? Anders shakes his head. Nothing else. I've had one on before, sometimes for months at a time, and never noticed any side effects. I used to escape rather a lot, you see. He smiles like it's a fond memory. From Hawk? Dorian cannot imagine it. Anders is so, well, relaxed around Hawk. Fenris, too. Like he's a prickly cat rather than a homicidal elven warrior who wants to rip Dorian's heart from his chest. Anders laughs. Oh no, never from Hawk. But before that, I mean, I was never officially a consort, and without that protection, well, suffice it to say, I had plenty of reason to escape. Multiple times, in fact, which was where the collar came in. Believe me, it does a thorough job of blocking magic, but nothing else. He gives Dorian a sly look. It doesn't, for example, make you fancy Cullen Rutherford. I do not! Also, if you actually want escape, you'll need to get better at lying, Anders says, over the top of his admittedly weak protest. Put some thought into it. Work on a plan. Don't do it on the spur of the moment. I'm starting to like you, and I don't want to see Fenris drag your insides into the outside. Although really, you could do worse. Much worse. He smooths the fabric over Dorian's shoulders where Fenris's handling has rumpled it. With his hands tied behind his back, it sits more open, and Anders fixing only makes it worse. If you want to name a favorite, some of the competitors will back off. Blackwall probably would step out of courtesy. I don't want any of this. Anders sighs. Like I said, better at lying. As you will, though. Hawk comes back at that moment, giving Dorian a sharp look which suggests he's already had an earful from Fenris. You look like a dowager fussing over her daughter. If I get you more kittens, will it stop you trying to adopt Tevinters? Anders makes a rude gesture in Hawk's general direction. I take it we are prepared? The spectators have started in on the ale, so I think we should probably get things underway before any unscheduled fights break out. Hawk grins. Varric helped me rig things to make sure Trevelyan and Rainier will get matched up. Let them get it out of their systems. And Cullen? Anders asks. Dorian tries not to show any response. Before you ask, he doesn't want to name a favorite. Nearly as stroppy as somebody else I know, Hawk says with a grin. Is it a mage thing? Unless there's an upset, I'm expecting to see Cullen against Blackwall. If he wins that, he'll go up against whichever one of the pups comes out on top. Enough talk. I want to see some fighting at some point today. Anders guides Dorian while Hawk strides ahead, and Fenris, who is waiting outside, follows closely behind, as if he's expecting Dorian to try to make a break for it. The tourney field is literally just a field, around the perimeter of which are gathered a large number of raiders and an equally large number of casks of ale. At the far end, there's a sort of makeshift dais with two seats on it. I will be adjudicating the matches, Fenris says in response to an inquisitive look from Anders. Those are for Hawk and you. Try to look decorative. And that leaves Dorian where, exactly? Too late, Dorian sees the post somebody has put into the ground next to one of the seats. By the time he's realized that, Hawk has already grabbed him from Anders and is forcibly marching him to the middle of the field. These are the rules of the tourney. Bare hands. Don't leave the field of battle. Don't let your knee touch the ground. You don't have to draw blood, unless you really want to. Cheers and laughter. Fenris's judgment is final. When a halt is called, you stop fighting. This means you, Trevelyan. And this, here he indicates Dorian, is the prize. You know, if I'd known they grew them like this in Tevinter, I'd have started raiding over the borders sooner. There are various yells of agreement, some of them mildly obscene. Hawk drags him to the dais, Anders settling into the far seat with a look at Dorian that probably means, don't be stupid. All the same, he can't help but struggle a little. Not that it helps, when he realizes Hawk wants him on his knees. By the time Hawk is done, his bound hands are connected to an iron ring at the base of the pole and the collar attached as well, on a short chain, so that he can barely move. To add insult to injury, Hawk then rearranges his outfit to leave most of his chest bare, the trousers tugged obscenely low. Must you? Maybe you should have been better behaved, Hawk says. Although, I probably would have anyway. It wouldn't be a proper tourney without the prize all out on display. Ask Anders about the duel I won him in, sometime. Naked with pretty chains. I think Meredith was trying to distract me. Anders sighs. Must you? I still have the pretty chains. Came as part of the deal. Hawk grins. Varric, if you'd like to stop taking last-minute bets and call forward the first competitors. The dwarf steps forward and calls two names. Neither of them men Dorian recognizes. They come in front of the dais and give their respects to Hawk, as well as looking Dorian over with the same lingering open hunger. They are barefoot, wearing only thin trousers. Is that an official part of things, too? Are they all going to fight half-naked? Fenris calls start, and they practically hurl themselves at each other, a chaotic mix of punches and grappling and kicks, and attempts to knock the other man off their feet. The rest cheer, Hawk yelling various forms of, "Put some gut into it!" Until finally one man stumbles and the other takes advantage to knock his legs out from under him. "Halt!" Fenris calls, and indicates the winner, although it's already obvious. Rainier is one of the next competitors, and yes, the shirtless bit does appear to be a thing. He wins quickly, less chaotic in tactics, more a sort of targeted assault on his opponent, unrelenting until the man simply falls to the ground. Trevelyan is in the fourth match. He looks straight at Dorian and blows a kiss, followed by some sort of obscene wiggle with his tongue, and then wins in the fastest time yet, a sort of blur dodge duck weave, which leaves the other man on his knees as if he's not sure how he got there. Blackwall is in the sixth matchup. Dorian almost feels sorry for his opponent. It's like being up against a bear. A giant, hairy bear. Magar. He's never seen a man like that. It's sort of fascinating. And the muscles. He is altogether unprepared for the dwarf to call, "And Cullen Rutherford." Cullen is not as furry as Blackwall, but there is hair there, yes, and a lot of well-defined muscles. The sort of which you presumably get from hitting things with heavy chunks of metal all the time. Or from wrestling with other southern barbarians, as Cullen puts on an excellent display of his technique in this matter, muscles flexing as he twists the other man's arm behind his back, physically forcing him to the ground and pinning him there. Not that Dorian is appreciating it as anything other than a display of technique, of course. If he's feeling a little heated, it's probably because he's out in the sun. It definitely can't be anything else. If not least because these trousers are very thin, and Hawk keeps giving him amused side glances, and he would see. Not that there is anything to see. He's not connecting the way Cullen had looked at him, chained here on display, with the ease with which he'd pinned the other man down, with the fact that he'd done that to the other barbarian. That if it were Dorian, he's not thinking about it. Once the field has been reduced to 8 men, there's a brief break, in which everyone drinks more and watches Anders give Dorian a little water. He catches snippets of vulgar discussions about what various people would do to him given the chance. Sort of compliments couched in the filthiest language he's ever heard. Speculation about how much experience he has, whether he'll need to be trained. He sees Cullen standing nearby, not participating in the conversation, just watching him, and he suddenly gets a vivid mental image of being on his knees in front of the man, being trained like some bed slave, and it's shocking how much the idea appeals. He has to stop thinking like this. It's not some dirty fantasy. This is for real. It's actually happening. He is chained here as a prize for some filthy barbarian to win, and he really has to stop thinking like this. Either not noticing or ignoring Dorian's internal struggle, Hawk calls for the next round to begin. Rainier, Blackwall, Cullen, and Trevelyan are all in separate matches, and all win. It's just as Hawk was saying earlier. When the next matchup is announced as Rainier versus Trevelyan, it's not surprising. There is a certain amount of tension in the air. Clearly, this is a long-awaited matchup. They're both quick, aggressive fighters, but for a long time, neither has the upper hand. Then suddenly, Rainier slips. It's hard to see what happened, if it's something Trevelyan does or just plain bad luck. What is clear is the fact that the very second there's an opening, Trevelyan takes advantage of it. "Halt!" Fenris calls, and Trevelyan raises his head, panting, grinning, while Rainier stomps off to one side, clearly upset. That means next it's Cullen and Blackwall. This one's a battle of strength and stamina. Again, they seem evenly matched. It goes on for even longer than the previous match. Dorian realizes he's straining forward in his chains, wincing each time Blackwall lands a hit. Eventually, however, Cullen wins out. Blackwall is a much more gracious loser, and Cullen is a more gracious winner, to be fair. And in the break that follows, he jokes about young bucks with Hawk while Cullen just watches Dorian again. "I'm going to enjoy having that pretty mouth around my cock even more, knowing you're all alone and sad, Rutherford," Trevelyan says, obnoxiously confident, despite the fact that Rainier left him with a bloodied lip. Cullen doesn't respond. "What, nothing to say?" Hawk chuckles. "What a pity for the pup that the rule isn't to talk your opponent to death." Anders just chuckles. "At least there's only one match to go. I'm not sure I can take much more of this posturing." Dorian doesn't want to think about one match to go. But as the dwarf is now riling up the spectators, talking up the final match and who will claim the prize, and taking a number of additional bets, he can hardly avoid thinking about it. Right, Hawk says. Dorian has no idea of how he decides when to intervene, but everyone falls silent when he does. Rutherford, Trevelyan, front and center. Show me what you've got. Trevelyan is practically vibrating on the spot, and when Fenris calls, start, he moves so quickly that Dorian hardly sees the first attack, but Cullen blocks it with apparent ease, and Trevelyan dances back out of reach of his counterswing, then darts back in for a second attack, again and again, quick and vicious, but each attack breaks against the apparently implacable wall of Cullen's defense. It's getting warm under the sun, and the two of them are glistening with sweat. They're every bit the stereotype. Sweaty, filthy barbarians, locked in a battle like mindless beasts. Will the winner at least bathe before he stakes his claim? Dorian's not sure he'd put it past these savages to simply pin him down in the mud and take him right here, with everyone watching. He can't deny it any longer. He's half-hard and squirming in his chains, as if he's eager for it. It's shameful, and the shame only winds him tighter, scenarios flitting through his mind, hands in his hair, guiding, controlling him, making him beg for his own ruination. Caught up in his own breathless shame, he doesn't realize what's happened until a roar from the spectators goes up, and he hears, "Halt!" and opens his eyes. When had he closed them? Startled, fearful, hopeful, Trevelyan is on one knee, fist clenched around a handful of dirt. Cullen is standing. Oh,